Today's shiur is dedicated for schus for fu shlema for shalom and bracha. Today's shiur is masechta nedarim daf ayin dalad, and we will begin be'ezer Hashem yisbarach at daf ayin dalad amud aleph at the Mishnah. As we've discussed, we learned masechta yevamos. The halacha is that if someone passes away without having any children, his wife has to have yibum, where one of the surviving brothers, does yibum. Like that, she becomes married to him. If he doesn't want to do Yibam, then he does Chalitza. And that's how this woman becomes released, that she can marry anyone else. As long as she is in the state that she has to have Yibam or Chalitza, her status is called a Shemeris Yavim. And as we're going to discuss in today's shiur quite extensively, the question that we are going to examine is how does the halacha view that relationship? How does the halacha view the relationship between the yavam and yavama, particularly as relevant to hilchos hafara that we've been learning, that a father has a right to be made for the nedarim of his daughter, a husband has a right to be made for the nedarim of his wife, a orus is made for the nedarim of his arusa, together with the father, how does the halacha look at the relationship between a shemeris yavam and his wife, and his yavama, as far as hafaras the dharma is concerned? So begins the Mishnah, shemeris yavam, if a woman is obligated to have yibam, bein li yavam echad, whether the husband who died only had one surviving brother, bein li shnei yavamim, whether he had more than one brother, the halacha is Rabbi Elazar Amar Yafa. The halacha is that the yavam could do hafara. Posh pshat in the Mishnah, which we will discuss in the Gemara Mitzvah Shem, is that the one brother, one of the surviving brothers, according to Rabbi Elazar, one of the surviving brothers will be able to do hafara. If Shuaimer, if there's echad, if there's one surviving brother, then he could do hafara, because there is no question that who is the yavam. There's only one surviving brother. Avaloi l'shnayim, if there's more than one surviving brother, then Yeshua says, since we don't know who is going to ultimately do the yibam, so who is the one that she's connected to? And therefore, Yeshua says, that is a case where hafara is not an option. That is the opinion of most Rishonim. There are Rishonim, however, have a different understanding of Rav Shu's opinion. And their understanding of Rav Shu's opinion is that if there's one Yavam, so obviously he will do the Hafara himself. If there is more than one Yavam, so then all of the Yavamim should do the Hafara, because we don't know which one is the one that's going to ultimately be the one that marries her. Rekiva says, Loi l'echad, v'loi l'shnayim. The halacha is that there's no din of hafari here. And as all the Rishonim point out, according to Rekiva, there's no option of hafara. She's less than an arusa. An arusa, as we started this parak, has hafara done jointly by the husband and by the father. This woman, there's no hafara option here at all. Amar Belezer, says Rabbi Elazar, to make his point, why the halacha should be that the yavam should be able to do hafara, says Rabbi Elazar, ma'am ishish kana la'atzma, if a person does erusin on a wife, as we've been learning for our entire perek, harei umefin the derel, so the Torah gives him the right to do hafara. So certainly the halacha ought to be isha shekto lemin shemayim, that this bond that has been created between the shemeris yavam and the yavam is something that happened in the shemayim. And then sheyef in the derel, certainly the halacha should tell us that he has a right to be made for the nedarim. Amalei Rabbi Akiva, to which Rabbi Akiva responds, loy im amata isha shekano la'atzma, that if we speak about a woman that he marries, that he does erusin, She'en l'cherem b'shus. Obviously, once Erusin is conducted, this woman with whom Erusin was done becomes an Eishes Ish. And since she becomes an Eishes Ish, she is only this husband's Eishes Ish. And therefore, the halacha is that he has the rights, as the Torah has taught us, to do hafara. Time of Be'isha Shikna Lom Shemayim, whereas a Yuvama, she'esh lachem rishus. She's not dedicated to one husband, like an Arusa and an Arusar. She has, there could be multiple brothers. So their relationship is obviously a very different relationship. To which Rabbi Shua says, Amalei Rabbi Shua, to Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi Shua says to Akiva, Devarecha, Shnei Yavamim. I understand your point when there's more than one Yavam. So it's different than every husband and wife. Because every husband and wife, there's a relationship, a unique, dedicated relationship between the husband and wife. And here, there's multiple Yavamim. But what are you going to say, says Rabbi Yeshua, Ma Atameshiv, what are you going to say, Yavam Echad, when there's only one Yavam? So there isn't an issue that she has, that she doesn't have that unique, devoted relationship. Amaloi, to which Rabbi Kiva responds, Ein Yavam Gvur Yavam, the relationship between a husband, a Yavama, and a Yavam is not the same, Shem Sharusa Gemur Isha, just like an Arusa's relationship with her husband. There it's a relationship of a husband and a wife, whereas the Kedushin of a Yavam and a Yavama, although she's a Shemaris Yavam, and although she's not supposed to marry anyone else, the halacha is, it's certainly still not the same. And actually, the Rishonim point out that one of the big differences would be, and that's a question, why didn't Rabbi Kiva say it? An Arusa, as we keep on repeating in our Shiurim, is an Eishes Ish. An Eishes Ish could obviously not marry another man, whereas a Yavama, a Shemeris Yavam, is not an Eishes Ish. And b'di'evit, if she married a man, the Kedushin would be Typhus. But Rabbi Kiva can't say that. The reason Rabbi Kiva can't say that, explains the Tveris Yisrael, because actually Rabbi Kiva's opinion is that even a person who's not allowed to marry someone else just because there's a chiv lav is also, according to Rabbi Kiva, not the kedusha is not typhus. So yes, according to our opinion, that a woman that has a chiv lav, the kedusha is typhus with another man, that would be a wonderful way of differentiating between a yavama and a rusa. But that will only be acceptable if we follow the opinion of the Chachamim. Our Mishnah is following the opinion of the Rabbi Kiva. Rabbi Kiva is the one who's defending his opinion, and he holds that even by Shemeris Yavam, the Kedushin, would not be typhus. There's a very interesting discussion here. The Mishnah differentiated between the relationship of a husband and a wife, Oris and Arusa, who one chooses that woman should be his wife, versus a Yavama, Isha Hiknu Lo Min HaShemayim, that is a wife that Min HaShemayim, the HaTorah, by teaching us the Halachos of Yibam, says that they should be married. But of course, points out the Chashuk HaChemer of Yitzchak Zilberstein Shlita, that we know that we cannot be successful in anything in life without tefillah. So yes, the wife that we, Baruch Hashem, get to choose a wife to be married to is a wife that we choose, but of course we need siyata d'shmaya, we need tefillah to find the proper wife. And therefore he has a discussion exactly where in the tefillah is the appropriate place to daven for a wife. So he quotes the Gemara Masechet Yevamos, Daf Samach Beis Amud Beis, Kol Adam She'en Lo Isha, a person who is not married, Shari B'lay Simcha, B'lay Bracha, B'lay Taiva, he doesn't have Simcha, he doesn't have blessing, he doesn't have Taiva. Rava Bar Ula Aymer B'lay Shalom. So he says, where is therefore the most appropriate place to daven for a wife? In the Bracha of Shalom, Taiva of Racha, Because a wife represents, as we just learned, shalom, toiva, and bracha. The only question is that the Gemara, Masechta Brachos, teaches us that the Shalosh Rishonis and the Shalosh Achronis, the first three brachas of the Shemoneh Esrei and the last three brachas of Shemoneh Esrei, we're not allowed to daven for our needs. So how can we suggest that Tzim Shalom, the last brach of the Shemoneh Esrei, is the place that we should have this tefillah, where that's not a tefillah place that we're supposed to daven our own tefillahs? So he says that when we say that we're not supposed to have a bakasha protis, a specific private individual bakasha in the brachas, in the last brachas of Shemoneh Esrei, that's when we're asking for something that isn't really part of the bracha. But he suggests that Sim Shalom Toivah Vracha, we're not asking for something that the bracha doesn't mean. We're asking Sim Shalom Toivah Vracha is the definition of a wife. And since that is the definition of a wife, that's considered a proper place to daven for a good wife. Another place that he suggests is that the Gemara in Masechta Yevamos over there says, "B'marava Amri in Eretz Yisrael they used to say, Hashari b'loy isha, somebody who doesn't have a wife, shari b'loy Torah, then he can't succeed in his learning. And therefore, he says, when we say the bracha, Hashiveinu avinu l'sayre secha, that's the place, having a wife is the way to succeed in Torah and learning. Another place he says we could daven for a wife is based on the Gemara Masechta Baba Metzia. The Gemara Masechta Baba Metzia, Daf Nun Tesam and Aleph says, Lo'olam ye adam zar b'kvayt ishtoi. A person should properly honor his wife. She'ein bracha metzuyah b'teich b'yisi shel adam. Bracha, panasa, only comes to a person's home. El b'shvil ishtoi. She'namar, as the Pasuk says, Avram hated Bavura. Avram had success because of Sarah. V'hainu d'amul Rava l'bnei Mechuzah, and that was what Rava used to say to the people of his city Mechuzah. Ikiru anu neshechayu, show respect to your wives, show honor to your wives. Kehechu dinis asra, in order that you should become wealthy. So, therefore, the bracha baruch aleinu, which represents the bracha panasa, is the bracha, and one's wife and the way he treats his wife is so connected. So therefore, Baruch Aleinu is the time to daven. Another suggestion that he quotes from Reb David Dinover, the son of the Bnei Yisachar, he says that we should have in mind by Re'eino Benyenu. Re'eino Benyenu, we say in the Haggadah, V'yar Es Onyenu, that in Mitzrayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw how he was suffering. What does it mean? So precious derecheres that we couldn't have relations with a wife. So when we say Re'eino Benyenu, we're saying we shouldn't be left in this onyenu, that we shouldn't be able to, that we don't have a wife to have relations with. So then he continues the discussion, Rabbi Yitzchak Zilberstein. Now we've identified where in the Shemoneh Esrei we are mispalel for a wife. Where in the Shemoneh Esrei are we mispalel for good children? So he says, he quotes Rabbi Yitzchak Doi Belzer that says that in Moedim, when we say L'davida Noid L'cha Nusapti L'secha, we are mispalel L'davida, that we should have children, that we should be successful in having relations, and having good children to continue our generations. And therefore, he says, those who daven Nusach Ashkenaz, and they, by the Chazar Shashatz, instead of saying at the Kaddish, they say L'dor V'dor Nagi God Lecha. So we just learned that wherever we say L'dor V'dor, it represents davening for future generations. So we could have in mind future generations when we say L'dor V'dor. The other place he says that we should daven for good children is, again, in the bracha of Sim Shalom. Because when we say Bachenu Avinu Kolanu Ke'echod, Kolanu Ke'echod is that we're davening that all of our children, all of us together, our children should be successful in their avodas Hashem. Moreover, he says, Echod refers to Avram Avinu, as the Pasuk says, Ki Echod Karosiv Vavracheyu. The Pasuk refers to Avram Avinu as Echod. And we know that the Torah, when it describes who Avram Avinu was, says that what made Avraham Avinu so special? Ki yidativ. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I love Avraham Avinu. L'mana sheyitzav es bonav es beisei akrav. V'shamru derech Hashem. Lasois tztoko mishpat. So therefore, Avraham Avinu, who his whole hallmark was that he was concerned about future generations. In a bracha, when we speak about Echad, we could be referring to Avraham Avinu and ask for the same bracha that we should have wonderful children. Another place he says that we should have in mind that we should be successful and have wonderful children is in the bracha of Al Tzadikim. Because there we say, Al Tzadikim, Al Chsidim, Al Zikne, Al Chabes Yisrael, Al Gerit Tzadik V'Aleinu. We're asking for Aleinu, for ourselves and our and all our future generations. And we should always be successful. So now the Gemara analyzes the halachas that we just learned in our Mishnah. So it says the Gemara, Bishlam Rabbi Kiva, the opinion of Rabbi Kiva that a woman that's a Shemeres Yavam, her Yavam cannot do Zika, cannot do Chafara, is because his opinion is Safar ain't Zika. As we discussed extensively, when we learned Masechta Yevamos, there's a concept of Zika. And the concept of Zika says that there's a relationship that is formed between a husband, a Yavam and a Yavama. And the question is, what does that relationship mean and how is that relationship understood? So Mekiva holds that there is no concept of Zika. And since there's no concept of Zika, there is no relationship really formed between the Yavam and the Yavama. And since there is no real halachic relationship formed between the husband, between the Yavam and the Yavama, obviously he can't do Zika. He can't do Hafara. Rabbi Shua's opinion is, Yei Zika, that there is such a relationship formed between the Yavam and Yavama. And therefore, the halacha is that the Yavam could do Hafara. And I saw that the Mefarshim point out that as we learned the Masechta Yevamos, this whole concept of Zika, which we will be discussing in today's shir as well, is not necessarily a concept midaraisa. So if it's not necessarily a concept midaraisa, how can we use Zika to establish halacha? So I saw the Mefarshim point out, even if it's not necessarily a halacha, it's a deraisa concept, but what Yesh Zika teaches us is that there's clearly a relationship between the Yavam and the Yavama. And since there's clearly a relationship between the Yavam and Yavama, that's why the Yavam could do Afara. Ela Rabbi Elazar, according to Rabbi Elazar that we learned in our Mishnah, that says that even if there are multiple Yavams, they still could do Afara, my Tame, how do we understand his position? Even if he holds Zika, ain't Brera. And most Rishonim explain Breira in this context, not in the context that we usually explain Breira. Normally we understand Breira means a retroactive designation, that something happens later and Breira says that retroactively we know that this was what was meant to be. Here we're going to explain, according to some Rishonim, the definition of Breira here means that we don't know which is the husband, which is the brother-in-law that's going to do Yibum. And since we don't know which is the brother-in-law that's going to do Yibum, so how can we say that there's a specific or special relationship between that Yavam and this Yavama? Amar of Ami, Kagan Shasuba Mamar. We're going to have to explain that Rabbi Elazar is referring to a situation where the brother-in-law did Mamar. Rabbi Elazar Saval Ka Beishamai. Rabbi Elazar holds like Beishamai. The Mamer has a very strong effect. So the Rishonim point out, the Rambam, the Pirush Mishnayos immediately points out that this is not a stretch, because throughout Shas, we know that the Gemara says Rabbi Elazar Shamutihi. Rabbi Elazar follows the opinion, was from the Talmidei Beis Shammai, and he follows the opinion of the Beis Shammai. And therefore, connecting Rabbi Elazar's opinion in our Mishnah to the opinion of Beis Shammai is completely legitimate. As we learned in Masechta Yevamos, the halacha is, the midaraisa, there's only one way a Yavam becomes the wife of the Yavam. And that is through Bia. The Yavam does Bia in the Yavama, and that's how they become
husband and wife. But the Gemara, in Masechta Yevamos, spoke very often about Maimer, where the Yavam did Kedushin in the Yavama. He gave her Kesef, or he gave her a Shtar, which Midoraisa doesn't really mean anything. Because Midoraisa, the only options that there are by a Yavam and a Yavama are either Dia, which makes her his wife, or a Chalitza, which terminates the relationship between the Yavam and the Yavama. But the Gemara often spoke in Masechta Yevamos about the concept of Maimer, that he did do Kedesu Kedushin Kedesu, or he did gave Kesev or Shtar, and what did that accomplish? And certainly it accomplishes that if they want to terminate the relationship, they have to have a get, and that he is the preferable Yavam over the other Yavamas. So says Rav Ami, our Mishnah is going to be referring to a case that one of the brother-in-laws did Maimer, and since he did Maimer, so now that's the Yavam with whom she has the special relationship. And since that's the Yavam with whom she has the special relationship, that is the Yavam that could do Hafara. So Rav Shua Amalach, Hani Mili, when do we say that Zika and Maimer are strong? Only b'chad yavam, only when there's only one yavam. Ab shnei yavamim, if there are two yavam loy, mi kamidi. Because why is Rabbi Shua not prepared to give the fact that there's a zika, a mimer between this brother-in-law and sister-in-law some validity? Because mi kamidi chasa ocha osolai b'biya b'gita meifar. The halach is that even if one brother did mimer, if one of the other brothers, before the brother who did Maimer consummated that Maimer with a Bia, the halacha is, if another brother went and had Bia with her, or did Maimer with her, that would prevent him from being able to consummate it. So we see that even though there is a Zika, and there's a Yiba, even though there's a Zika and a Maimer, it doesn't really mean that much, says Rabbi Shua. And that's why, just because there was Zika and Maimer, it isn't enough that should be the brother-in-law should be able to do Hafara. Rabbi Kiva Sava. Rabbi Kiva's opinion is very simple. Rabbi Kiva's opinion is ain't Zika. He doesn't subscribe to the concept of Zika, and he certainly doesn't therefore subscribe to the concept of Maimer, and therefore there is no special relationship between the Yavam and the Yavama. And therefore, even if there's only one Yavam, says Rabbi Kiva, he can't be the one to do Hafara. When we learned Masechta Yevamos, Daf Chav Tes, we learned that even according to Beis Shammai, who we just learned, his opinion is that Maimer is very strong, it's still not all-powerful. And therefore, for example, if one of the brothers did Maimer in the Yavama, and then he changes his mind, and he doesn't want to consummate that, the halacha will be that it's not adequate that he should give her a get. He would also have to do chalitza. All the Maimer accomplishes is that the Gemara in Masechta Yevamos spoke often, the Mishnayos and the Gemara spoke about achois zukukosoi. If two women have zika to the same man and their sisters, neither of them can have yibum. But we learned that if there was Maimer in one of them, then the other sister does not become a Choyse Kekosoi. Says the Gemara, therefore ask the Gemara, Ula Rabbi Lezer, according to Rabbi Lezer, that we learned the Masechta Yevamos, that said that Omar, Maimer Lebei Shama in Koina, that Maimer isn't that powerful. All Maimer accomplishes is a Litchus Betzora, that it removes the issue of a Choyse Kekosoi, not anymore Mayikala Maimer. So how do we understand? We're explaining that the whole pshat in Rabbi Lezer and our Mishnah is because the Zika and Maimer, but we see that Maimer is not that powerful. All Maimer accomplishes, asks the Gemara, is that they takes away the issue of Achoysa Kukosai. Answers the Gemara, Hachem Ma'iskinen, Shama Bedin. The case was that the Shemeres Yavam took her brother-in-law to Bezdin, and said, either do Yibum or do Chalitza. Shavat Bedin, and they went to Beis Din, and Beis Din said, yes, you either have to do Yibum or Chalitza. This is an untenable situation that you're not going to do either Yibum or Chalitza and leave this woman in limbo. Eschayv l'mazoinus, and then he ran away. Instead of following Beis Din's psak that he should do Yibum or Chalitza, he ran away. And what Beis Din does is Eschayv l'mazoinus. So Beis Din makes his estate pay this woman, support this woman. And as we learned in Masechta Yevamos, the halacha is only in a case like we just discussed, where Beis Din paskened that he has to give her mezoinus. Does he have to give mezoinus? But if we wouldn't have had this in Torah and we wouldn't have this psak of Beis Din, there's no way Yavam does not have to support his Yavama. Ukrav Pinchas made the Rava, and now says the Gemara, we follow the concept of Pinchas and the Rava. The Amar Kol Hanederes Abdas Baal Hanederes. Whoever makes a nether based on the consent of her husband. And this case as well, since this woman knows that she is being supported by the Yavam because of the Psak Beis Din, that creates that special relationship. And because it creates that special relationship, that's why this Yavam has the right to be Mefer Hanedarim. Because he's a Yavam who has a Beis Din backing him up. So many Rishonim suggest that this is only the way to understand Rebbe Elazar's opinion. According to Rabbi Yeshua, it's not the Chiyah Mezoinus that gives him the right to be made for the Nedarim. They explain that according to Rabbi Yeshua, the obligation is based, as we learned before, that Rabbi Yeshua subscribes to the concept of Yesh Zika. And we're also going to be referring to a situation where there is only one Yavam, and therefore that's what creates the band. But there are other Rishonim that say that now that the Gemara has introduced this new concept, it could be that even Rabbi Yeshua will be agreeable with this concept. And what Rabbi Yeshua is going to say is that if there's a Yavam who's obligated to support her, and there's only one Yavam, so there's no concern that of more than one Yavam, that's what Rabbi Yeshua is going to hold, that he could be made for. But in other words, they're really basing their opinions on the same point, that the fact that he has to support her changes everything. Ask the Gemara, we learned in our Mishnah, Amar Belezer, or my Ish Konal Atzma, if a man chooses a wife, the halacha is harehu meifin nedareha, he has a right to be meifin nedarim. Isha sheikta leimin shemayim, a wife that the Torah says he must marry, ain't a din shemayfin nedareha. Certainly, Rabbi Elazar said he should be able to be meifin nedarim. Vi loy also my maimer, but if we're explaining our Mishnah that it's only referring to a case where maimer was done, konal atzmaihu. So what are we saying, that this is a wife that he chose himself? It's a wife that Hashemayim chose for him. He chose his wife because he did the maimer. Says the Gemara, Shekana loy alidei Hashemayim. Yes, he chose to do maimer, the wife. But the choosing of doing maimer and the wife emanated because she's his Yavama. She emanated because Isha Hiknolai Min Hashemayim. And since it emanated Min Hashemayim, Rabbi Elazar's wording in the Mishnah of Isha Hiknolai Min Hashemayim are most appropriate. But ask the Gemara, if that's the case, Tishra D'boi Rabba. So we should now use Rabbi Elazar's opinion that he said in our Mishnah to answer a question that Rabbi posed in Masechta Yevamos. Because Rava posed the question in Masechta Yevamos, Mamela Beis Shammai Erusin Oisin or Nesun Oisin? We learned earlier that Beis Shammai gives a lot of power to Maimer. How far does that go? Is it the equivalent of Erusin or is it the equivalent of Nesun, like they had Chuppah? What would be the Nafkamina? The halacha is that a Kohen could, of course, under normal circumstances, not become Tamei when somebody passes away. But to a wife, he's allowed to become Tamei. Which type of wife? A Nesua. So now the question is, Rava asks, according to Beis Shammai, what does Maimer accomplish? Does Maimer accomplish that she's a full-fledged wife? And if he's a Kohen, he can become a Tamei Tahar if she dies? Well, it's not to that point. Or another nafkamina the Rishonim point out is, what will be the halacha regarding Yerusha? If a wife dies, midaraisa, if there was nesuin, the husband inherits her. But that's if there was nesuin. And now we need to know, what does Maimer accomplish? Does Maimer accomplish erisin or nesuin? Tivshit, so says the Gemara, we should be able to have a proof, the nesuin oisa, that what Maimer accomplishes, according to Beis Shammai, which is the basis of Rebbe Lezer's opinion, that it accomplishes that they are considered like they had nesuin. Because if all it accomplishes, asked the Gemara, if all it accomplishes is erisin oisa, that it's the equivalent of an erisin, hatanan, haven't we learned at the beginning of our perek, nara maros, or viu balam, if you're in the derel, the oris can never be made from the darim by himself. He only could do it jointly with the father. So how could Rebbe Lezer say, given, yes, all of the explanations we had of Rebbe Lezer now shared today, that there was Maimer, and there was Zika, and maybe there was even a Chiv Mezainis, but if it only accomplishes an Erisin, the halach is that an Oris never could do Hafara by himself. Answers the Gemara, the way we're going to have to explain the Mishnah, according to this opinion, that all Maimer accomplishes is Erisin, Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchak, my Yofer, what was meant by the word Yofer in our Mishnah, indeed, Yofer b'shutfus, he's going to have to do Hafara together with the father. He would not be able to do Hafara by himself. We just learned a fundamental question, what does Maimer accomplish? Is Maimer a kinyan of Erisin or Nesuin? So I saw that the Mefarshim discuss in understanding this that Al Gemara just says that the reason the Yavam could do Hafaras Nadarim, that's because Isha Sheknaloi Mitzshemayim. What do we see from here? That what the Maimer accomplishes, it resurrects the marriage of the husband. And since it resurrects the marriage of the husband, since it represents the marriage, the husband resurrects that, that's the question is, how far does it go? Does it go that it brings it back that they had Nesuin? So this will be considered Nesuin? Or will only be to the degree that if they had Erisin, this will be considered Erisin? Or it will be that, or always, even if the first husband and wife had Nesuin, they will have Erisin. That means, according to this explanation, if the first husband only had Erisin with his wife, as we learned, she's still a candidate for Yibum, there everybody would agree that when the Yavam does Maimer, it's only Erisin. The question only would pertain where the first marriage had Nesuin, and now the second marriage, the Yavam did Maimer, is that a continuation of the first marriage? And since the first marriage already reached the stage of Nesuin, this marriage will also be considered that it reached the stage of Nesuin? Or will we say that Maimer accomplishes? Yes, Beis Shammai gives a lot of power to Maimer, but not to the degree of that it should be considered a Nesuin. Maybe it's only considered like an Erisin. So there's a very interesting question that I said that the Chashukei Chemer discusses on this Gemara as well. He says, we know, and we've spoken about this many, many times, every Jewish marriage involves two stages. The marriage begins with an Erisin, and then it continues into a Nesuin. And the question is, we know that every Erisin begins with the Mesada Kedushin making the Bracha. And we also know, as we attend weddings, a very solemn, serious moment. And that's a time where the chassan, the kala, are being mispalel. And the question is, a chassan and a kala who are being mispalel under the chuppah, and instead of listening to the bracha, what the chassan and kala were doing, they were davening. And they were davening under the chuppah, and they didn't pay attention to the bracha. So the question that he poses is, how does the halacha look at the brachas erisin? If the halacha is the brachas erisin really a bracha that the chosan is supposed to make. But just because Chazal were concerned that not every chosan is able to make the bracha properly, so that's why Chazal said that the Masad Kedushin should make the bracha, but it's really a Birchas HaMitzvah. And since it's really a Birchas HaMitzvah, the halacha is that the bracha should be made by the person himself. And if he wasn't paying attention to when the bracha was made, then the halacha is that the bracha would have to be said again. Or does the halacha view the Birchas Erisin as a Birchas HaShvach? They were praising and thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he created the concept of marriage, the connection between a husband and a wife. If it's a Birchas HaShvach, so of course it's most appropriate that the Chosan Kala and everyone should hear the bracha and everybody should say Amen to the bracha, but it's not a bracha that he was obligated to recite. And since it wasn't an bracha that he was obligated to recite, it doesn't make that the marriage was done without the bracha, that if you didn't pay attention, you should have to repeat it. So actually, this question, is the Birchas Erisin a Birchas HaShvach or Birchas HaMitzvahs, is a machlokes of the Rambam and the Rosh. The Rambam's opinion is that the Birchas Erisin is a Birchas HaMitzvahs, and the Rosh's opinion is that it's a Birchas HaShvach. And this actually goes down one step, because this machlokes is a machlokes of the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah. The Shulchan Aruch paskins like the Rambam, and therefore he considers it a Birchas HaMitzvahs. The Ramah paskins like the Rosh, and he considers it a Birchas HaShvach. So now, the question that will come up is, who is the Chassan? If the Chassan is a Sfardi, and his Masada Kedushin is a Sfardi, and the Sfardim follow the opinion of the Rambam, so it would be obvious that they would have to make the bracha again if the Chassan says, I didn't pay attention. If, on the other hand, we say that if the Chassan is an Ashkenazi and the Masada Kedushin is an Ashkenaz, so that would also be simple, even though the Chassan should have paid attention. But if the Chassan didn't pay attention, we wouldn't have to make over the bracha, because it's a Birchas HaShvach. The question, or the difficulty that comes up, is what is the halacha when the Chassan is a Sfardi and the Masada Kedushin is an Ashkenazi, or vice versa? Do we follow the Chassan, which I think is probably more proper, because he's the one that's getting married, or do we follow the Masada Kedushin who made the bracha? Says the Gemara, Tanya Nami Hochik Rav Ami, the Braisa supports the opinion of Rav Ami that our Mishnah speaking about a case that Maimer was done, Shmeres Yavam Ben Yavam Echad, Ben Shnei Yavamim, whether she's a Shmeres Yavam to one Yavam or to two Yavamim, Rav Elazar Amar Yofer, he kafar could be done, Rav Shua Amar Echad, if there's only one Yavam, fine, V'loy L'Shnayim. Rav Kiva says it doesn't make a difference, Loy L'Echad, V'loy L'Shnayim, the Yavam can never do Afara. Amar Rav Elazar, so Rav Elazar continues with his argument as we learned in the Mishnah. Umam ishish ein lo chelek ba, ach lo tavel reshusai. If by a woman that the oris doesn't have any connection to her, only until he does the act of kedushin, as we just discussed, basel reshusai. But as the moment that he was mekadosh her nigmaloi, and at that point he gets the right to jointly be made for her nedarim with her father. So certainly here, where they have a relationship through the Maimer, so certainly at the point, even before the Maimer, they had a relationship. Why? Because of the Zeka. And so here, the Zeka was strengthened because there was a Maimer. Certainly the Halacha tells us that he should be able to do Hafara. Amalei Rabbi Kiva, to which Rabbi Kiva says, Loi. When a husband chooses a wife, before the Kedushin, nobody had a connection to her. Time of Ish Shikun Lam Shemayim, Shesh Lachel Kachesh Lachel Chemboy. Just like she could do Yibum, the other brothers could do Yibum. And therefore, why is he special even though there was Maimer? To which Rabbi Shua says to Rekiva, Akiva de Varecha B'shnei Yivamim. I could understand your argument when there were two Yivamim, because there's no one person that she specifically has a relationship with. But B'shnei Yivamim. Mata Meshav Yavam Echa, when there's only one Yavam, it's obvious that they have this very special relationship. And since it's obvious that they have this very special relationship, how will you defend your opinion? Amaloi, to which Rabbi Kiva says, Klum Chlaknu Ben Echel Shnei Yavamim. Do we differentiate if there's one Yavam or two Yavamim? Ben Shaosu by Maimer, Ben Shloy Yavasu by Maimer. Do I consider the fact if there was a Maimer or not, if there was no Maimer, a factor? Kushadvarim Kainadarim. Just like a Orus Kaloch is that could be made for Nadarim. But a Yavam is not an Orus. And since an Yavam, and the Gemara is going to explain this more now, coming Shir, since says Rabbi Kiva, a Yavam is not an Orus, the Torah gave a right to an Orus, certainly to a Nasui, the Duafara. The Torah did not give a right to a Yavam to Duafara. Says the Gemara, B'loshan Zeh Omer Ben Azai, when Ben Azai heard Rabbi Kiva's statement, said Ben Azai, Chaval Alecha Ben Azai, what a shame, Shloi Shimashtas Rabbi Kiva, that you didn't take the opportunity to learn by Rabbi Kiva, because if I would have learned by Rabbi Kiva, as the Rishonim say, Ben Azai says, I would have even been a greater Talmud Chacham. And here, I saw the many Paiskim point out that our Gemara is teaching us that there's a new and very important concept, and that is the concept of Shimush Talmid Chachamim. A person can learn much, and he could spend his life learning much Torah. But says, I saw Rav Moshe speaks about this in the Shas of Tshuva, Igros Moshe, Yerideya, Chelik Dalid, Simon Lamed Beis. He says, a person can learn much Torah, but if he didn't have a Rebbe who could teach him the Torah, who could teach him how to learn the Torah, then his success in learning and his success in being a Talmud Chacham will always be limited. The Sefer Ali Shur says that by learning from a Talmud Chacham, by having the Shemesh of Talmud Chacham, brings one to a certain maturity in learning that doesn't come when you learn by yourself. Number one, a Rebbe teaches you how to approach a Gemara. Number two, a Rebbe teaches you that you're not always right. You learn a Gemara, you learn whatever, and you think that your understanding is actually correct. And then your Rebbe, who's certainly a greater Talmud Chacham than you, shows you that you're not necessarily correct. That type of learning, where you learn not to always be right, to learn that you have to question, is critical to success in learning. Reb Chaim Shmulevitz says that you could have two Talmidim who are learning in yeshiva at the same time. But one Talmud really learns from his Rebbe. He absorbs how his Rebbe learns the Torah. He absorbs his Rebbe's hashkofa. He absorbs his Rebbe's derech. And the second Talmud sits there and hears the shir. He says the Talmud who really absorbs his Rebbe's learning and his Rebbe's approach to learning is the Talmud that's going to be successful and will be a marbitz Torah, will be a person who will be able to teach Torah himself. And the other one won't have that success.